The Fantasy Six-Pack Hour. With your hosts, Joe Bob.
Ah, you're awful.
And A.J. Appleton.
Sin-shoe-chew. Mouthful.
Brief hiatus of technical difficulties. I am back. I am your host tonight, running solo without Mr. Joe Bond. He is off tonight for his wife's birthday. Happy birthday, Jody. Hope you guys are having a great night. We will see Joe back next week. I will be welcoming on long time listener and long time friend of the show, Mr. Richard Seville of Fantasy Six Pack, and also the Fantasy Edge podcast. Hopefully Richard can get me straight here and we can get this show on the road here. So as soon as Richard calls in, I will buzz him in. But let's go ahead and start. And actually, here is Richard now. Let's get him on. Richard, are you there?
Yeah. Hello, AJ. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, I guess. This is quite an interesting. I don't know. I don't even know what to call it. Quite an interesting evening. We'll put it that way. Show one, attempt one, I guess we'll call it, is now officially in the books, and we've started show two, or show one, attempt two, to go for the redo. So,
well, it went 22 minutes. It automatically cut out a blank spot, but we're okay. We're on. Let's do a show.
All right. Well, we'll make it a quick one, and hopefully we can run through this thing and be out of here in a time frame that Joe and I could only dream of doing. So let's make it happen. We'll go ahead and
if you ever listen to the Fantasy Edge, it's always we've cut our show down really low. It was only like 35 minutes last week.
So oh wow!
We try to zip through them, yeah. But yeah, I'm up for it.
We try, but doesn't always happen as well. So, all right. Well, I'll just repeat from the beginning since I really don't know exactly where it cut off. But the two big items for news and notes that I had for this week was that Houston linebacker Brian Cushing has been suspended for 10 games for his second PED violation. He will be looking to get back on the field in time for their November 27th game right here in Baltimore against the Ravens. This is, like I said, this is his second violation now. So 10 games is pretty steep, and it's a big loss for a Houston defense that, to me, I think was really the biggest component of this team and its success moving forward. You know, they lose J.J. Watt last year to injury. Houston's still able to make the playoffs and obviously go out in the first round there. But, I mean, what's this do for fantasy? Anything? I mean, are you still eyeing Houston as a potential defense at this point?
I am. If you've got Clowney and Watt there, I mean, if I was Andy Dalton on Thursday, I'm frightened. Clowney is a psychopath. I mean,
yeah. He's
a football psychopath. And Watt, he's just, well, Watt is just J.J. Watt. So I think they can absorb Cushing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not good maybe for team morale, but I think it's okay.
Okay. Yeah, good insight there. I was talking on Dead Air about some of the big defense outings this week, so we'll or this past weekend. So we'll touch on that again and touch on Houston a little bit more here later on. The other news and notes I had was the Josh Gordon issue, incident. I don't even know what to call it. Situation, I guess you could call it. Sounds like he's about ready to get out of his fourth stint in rehab. And he's eyeing his return to the NFL. He will be ready to be out of rehab, I guess, on 9/21 is what it looks like. And I had the note here that ironically he hasn't played since 12/21, but it was of 2014. So, I mean, this guy's been suspended for 43 of Cleveland's last 48 games. That's an absurd amount of games to miss. And, you know, to me, I almost feel like another guy who I touched on and in dead air was Mr. Kevin White of Chicago. I feel like that's almost right up there with as many games as he's missed for Chicago over those last 3 years.
Yeah. At least he missed his honestly.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't out, you know, toking the reefer and you know, getting in his own way. He just couldn't get out of his injuries way. So, Gordon, looking to come back. I saw something that said, I believe there's a 90-day period where he cannot play. So I don't know if that's once he gets right out of rehab, he has to wait 90 days before he's officially reinstated. If he's reinstated right away, but then he can't play for 90 days. So I don't know exactly the parameters of that, but Josh Gordon's a guy that people were still drafting in my leagues. You know, I didn't draft him in any of them. You know, I wasn't paying much attention to him. I had kind of lost hope on this guy. I'm sure a lot of people have. Yeah. And it's a shame because he's such an immense talent that, you know, you definitely want to have someone like that on your team and someone that's going to be that big of a difference maker. But, you know, he's a great asset to have when he's here.
Yeah. Well, it's like Martavis Bryant, AJ.
Yeah.
You know, look at how he came through. Now, he had the similar difficulties, but he says, no, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it right. And he kind of is a model player who comes off suspension for issues like that. You know, Josh Gordon is not. And anybody stashing Josh Gordon is fooling himself. No training camp. You know, you talked about that 90-day waiting period that, or whatever it is. You know, he's got to go through all that. You know, I think it's a wild goose chase. If anybody's thinking about Josh Gordon.
It is. And I mean, until he gets back on the field and proves that he's legitimately back, I'm not really interested in him. I mean, I have mild interest because I've had success when he's been on my team and actually played. But it's just such an X factor of all X factors, really. You know, he's there.
Do the Browns want him?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, I was saying in the other half show, whatever, that, you know, I really do like Cleveland this year. I think they kind of have finally hit and have a lot of quality pieces in play. Not necessarily make a run to the playoffs this year, but to at least have a much more successful season than they've had in years past. So,
well, I even think last year, AJ, I think Cleveland was competitive last year. They lost all their games, but you know, they were unlike some other teams that were 3-and-out type of teams. You know, they had Terrell Pryor there last year, and he was doing stuff. And Isaiah Crowell did well last year. And I think you're right. They've improved on that. And maybe this year they'll still be just as competitive, but they'll win some games.
Yeah, I think they will. And, you know, Kizer had a big game against a stout Pittsburgh defense. So, you know, and he was a guy that I really didn't have confidence in going into this season, and he proved me wrong. You know, I'll be the first one to admit it, that he just came out and he kicked ass in week one. So, but with that, let's move into week one, talk real briefly about some of these major injuries that have befell the NFL and fantasy teams alike. Obviously, the biggest injury is David Johnson. He is out 2 to 3 months with this wrist issue. You know, the coach there, Bruce Arians, was talking about, you know, hopefully having him back for Christmas. And, I mean, that's a hell of a Christmas gift for Arizona and fantasy owners alike. But
for real football.
Well, yeah. I mean, but this injury just flat out sucks. I mean, I stated it earlier in the half show about, you know, unless you were lucky enough to have Johnson as a late round keeper pick, like myself, I had him as a ninth round keeper in my personal league. So you look at that and you're like, eh, okay, well, I'm losing a ninth round pick. But no, you're not. You're losing a first round pick that you were lucky enough to get late in the ninth round. You know, I mean, this is a guy who went in the top three picks in probably 99% of drafts. You know, unless there was some 100%. Homer out there that picked, you know, maybe an AJ Green or Julio ahead of him. I don't understand why, but sure, it happens. But I mean, this is a huge blow. We talk all the time about, you know, really injuries that take out your first or second round picks and how it just hamstrings your teams. I mean, you really got to be a very good and savvy drafter to be able to absorb this kind of an injury for your team. I mean, hell, he might not even come back this season, depending on how this rehab goes and everything like that. So,
kind of a write-off for me, really.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
if you have an IR spot, okay, perfect. You can use it for him, you know, and hope that he comes back. But even when he comes back, how effective is he going to be? You know, is he going to be the same guy? Is he just all of a sudden going to be a top running back for the last 4 weeks of the season, maybe, if that, you know? And that's really your playoff weeks. So it's hard to trust him. If he closer to that 2 month time frame, it's definitely going to be more absorbable. But
yeah, and you kind of are. And by the time December comes around, you're looking at when is he starting to work out with the team? You know, that's when you're looking. Well, he's not working out with the team yet. When this injury first came out, I really downplayed it. I really thought, okay, sprained wrist. I think they're going over the top with this. But then the news got worse and worse and worse and worse. And I had a bit of a soft spot for fantasy football overall, because this, it really hits hard, because people with the first pick have to wait 23 turns, in 12-team leagues, that is. They've got to wait 23 moves for their second pick. And you are so dependable on your very first pick when you have the first pick. And there might be a few people who took Bell who favor Bell over Johnson. I get that. It's quite possible.
And that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a preference there. But it's still a long way for your second pick, and your second pick is a very big downgrade. So you need that that first round draft pick. And I can understand people like just wanting to throw in the towel and, you know, well, just, you know, I'll just count my league fee as a loss and just move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So they, I mean, that's the thing. Like I was saying, unless you really make out with your late round picks, like an Adrian Peterson, if he really turns into, you know, 85% of former Adrian Peterson and is on a high powered offense now, you know, he didn't really show it in week one. But they were in such a hole early that they really weren't running the ball. I mean, but they did spread the ball around too, all three of their backs. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind. But, you know, Jamaal Charles is another guy that was like a real late round sleeper pick that if he pops back to his former self, he could be a huge coup for somebody who's got a David Johnson that is now lost for probably the majority of your fantasy season. So, you know, that, it's definitely a big blow. It's something to really, really weigh. If you don't have an IR spot, you got to maybe play it out a couple weeks and see how it goes. If it seems like he's doing well, okay, fine. Maybe you hold him another couple weeks, but you can't let this put your team in a bad spot. And if you are just losing week after week after week and you need that roster spot, I'm okay cutting him. You know, you got to just make do with what you have and the guys that are going to be there. And if someone else wants to pick him up and stash him, that's, you know, hopefully not, you know, in first or second place and they can absorb it, then so be it. But huge injury, huge loss to everybody that owns him. Another running back I had listed here was Danny Woodhead. He's out with a hamstring injury for what's sounding like 6 to 8 weeks now. And this is something he was dealing with throughout the preseason. Initially, it was thought that maybe he would only miss 4 to 6 weeks. Now it's 6 to 8. You know, here again, Danny Woodhead's not a guy that was an early round draft pick, but he was probably sitting around that 4, 5, 6 area, I feel like. And he's a guy who in the past has been a PPR monster. So, you know, he definitely was a hot commodity to have.
For me though.
PPR.
He wasn't a hot commodity for me, and I'll tell you why. Because he was coming off an injury this season, and he was getting on in age, and I my thoughts were, well, I could pass on him and take somebody else. You know, I think he was up and around the Rob Kelly tier in that range, and so I would be much happier taking Rob Kelly or somebody like that when drafting was going on. So I think he's, I mean, obviously he's somebody far more absorbable, in a roster, especially with Jafarius Allen. You've got an immediate backup, whereas the Cardinals don't really. You've kind of got a mixed bag going on there that you don't really know who's going to lead. I think there's going to be a chairman of the committee right now. I guess it's Kerwin Williams, but that could switch to Chris Johnson in a flash. Keep switching back and forth, you know.
Yeah, and I touched on that earlier in the dead air space, but we'll talk about that a little bit too, as far as the waiver pickups and stuff like that for this week. But next injury we got here is Allen Robinson. He's done for the season, torn ACL. You know, this is a huge blow to Jacksonville. I mean, Robinson's been a very solid receiver for them year after year. You know, he hasn't missed time since the last, I think it was 6 games of his 2014 rookie season. You know, Blake Bortles is trying to hold his job, and you know, Allen Robinson would have been a nice aid in doing that. And now he's looking at guys like Alan Hearns, Marquise Lee, and Aurelius Benn to some point, to really kind of step up and be his lead receivers. I think it's going to be more Hearns and Lee, but you know, yeah. Ben's had some sneaky games over the years where he's just come up big. Even back when he was with Tampa, he had some really good games there when they were dealing with injuries to various other, you know, bigger name receivers. So this is a big blow to Jacksonville for sure. Another couple of receivers. I already mentioned Kevin White. He's out with a shoulder injury. He's done for the season, it sounds like. I think he will require surgery, so that pushes him out for the season. Amendola, you know, he was kind of Tom Brady's, hey, he's the guy I know. He's the guy I trust. You know, I get everybody over here is talking about Chris Hogan and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, Chris is great, but I love Danny. You know, he's going to be my guy now that Edelman's gone. Okay, Tom.
Concussion problems, though.
Yeah. What are you gonna say this week, Tom? You lost your first game. Everyone was talking about Atlanta and their Super Bowl hangover. Looks like it was the other way around. The Patriots got their asses kicked, and I love it. You know, A, because I'm an Eagles fan.
A lot of people
and,
got some joy out of that game.
Oh, yeah. Everybody outside of the Boston area, I'm sure, got joy out of that game. You know, or transplants that are New England fans. But, yeah, I mean, I'm an Eagles fan. So, obviously, you know, I love that Kansas City has Andy Reid. And, you know, I was always a Reid fan. I didn't love everything that he did. His time management, still atrocious. But, hell, man, he managed his time perfectly in that game. And he decided, well, the first half was the first half. Now it's time to manage this game. And he went out and coached a hell of a second half. They made adjustments they needed to make. And he outcoached Belichick. So I wish he would have done it in the 2004 Super Bowl. But, you know, McNabb got tired. And T.O. said McNabb got tired. I don't know. Whatever the hell happened there. But
and what a diamond he's got at running back.
Oh, man, I didn't even have Kareem Hunt listed on my notes to recap for week one because I'm way too embarrassed to talk about how I decided to bench him in my coworker league, we'll call it. It's a league with guys across the country that are in my same industry that my company is in. So we still pulled out the win, and I told my coworkers, because there's three of us that co-manage this team, basically. I said, look, guys, all right, this is a lesson for you to, A, always listen to AJ, and B, don't always listen to AJ.
I know what you mean. You get it right and you get it wrong sometimes. You know, I mean, I sat him in one league too. So I mean, I sat him. I had him in one other going. I was lucky that I did because it was a choice decision. But
well, so we had David Johnson in that league. He was our first round keeper, which was a complete bust because yeah, we got him at the sixth pick, I believe, in a 10-team two quarterback league. Which was good, but now he's gone for the season. We don't have an IR spot, so we're on that fence of now we've got a tough decision to make. Yeah, we had Kareem Hunt, we had Ty Montgomery, and I said, you know what? I really like Stephon Diggs this week. I think he's going to have a huge game against a piss-poor New England defense, or I'm sorry, New Orleans. So I want to put him in our flex. And we'll start Montgomery and DJ and our two running backs. And then we'll start Crabtree and Davante Adams, I think, were the two receivers that we started. And we won, like I said. But, man, it was kind of the laughing joke of the Friday afternoon email chain between all the guys in the league across the country, and I just told them, hey, look, guys, this just goes to show how good our team really is. I mean, bench is putting up monster points. Our starters are going to put up monster points come this weekend. So just beware. Beware that we're here. So it was,
well, you know, it happens. Like, I sat Golladay in the league, so, I lost points there. I mean, who did I have? I had some guy, who was he? It doesn't matter. But, I mean, I didn't start Golladay. You know, I realized that Golladay is like the Babytron now. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was talking on Dead Air about him as well for my waiver pickup notes. And Golladay was a monster this weekend. And I stupidly dropped him in one league, a 14-team league, mind you, to pick up Paul Richardson, who was another big, trendy sleeper guy. And, Curse is gone now, so he's going to be the second coming. And Tyler Lockett's not going to do much and blah, 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 blah. So I went with it, and I still won. I still managed to win that matchup, too.
Okay, well, I'll stop stepping on your schedule.
No, you're fine, man. It's fine. We don't really have a schedule at this point. This is part two, so I'm okay with wherever the hell we're going right now. But yeah, it was that one kind of kicked me, and I was not able to get him back. I probably could have gotten him if I put in my first waiver claim for him, but I put my first waiver claim in for Tariq, whatever, Cohen. Did not get him.
Awesome guy. Oh, yeah.
Did not get him in that one. I had
alternative.
The fourth waiver pick, and I did not get him, but I did get Chris Johnson. I dropped Fyodorowicz because he's on IR. He's another injury guy. And since we're talking injuries, well, initially we were before the tangents.
I looked on the F6P league, and you already had Tariq
Cohen
early
on
your team.
Yeah, I snaked him early on that one. And I got Carson.
I didn't think I was going to get him because I looked, the day before yesterday, a couple of days, just for, I think Monday, I looked to see who.
Yeah.
To see who's out in the waiver, because it's waiver day coming
25
up.
Points.
And you've got him on your team. Jerk.
I needed him in that league, too. I think I lost in that league, didn't I? No, that might have been one of them. Yeah. I think I did. It's week
nice
one.
Nice pickup, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Thank you. I will definitely take that kudos. It's week one. I did lose. By not even 5 points. Horrible. The one thing we talk about a lot of times, and Joe and I kind of touched on it last week as far as setting your week one lineup and overthinking, underthinking versus setting your later in the season lineups. Now, his stance was, oh, it's easy. I have no problem setting my week one lineups because I'm setting in the guys who I drafted first and they're filling those positions. And then I'm good because they're the guys I drafted first. So they should be performing. They should be, living up to their draft round status. I'm the complete opposite of that.
Marshall.
Well, yeah, I'm the complete opposite of that because I have a harder time setting my week one lineup because I'm looking at, okay, well, here's all these guys I drafted early, but I don't love the matchup for a David Johnson this week or whoever, a good receiver, that you take in the first couple rounds. I'm not big on that, but I do have this sleeper in Kenny Golladay over here who I do like. Maybe he could have a good game. you know, this and that. I mean, I'm back and forth. I'm all over the place every damn week. I mean, I'm not going to kid anybody about it, but that's how much I am into fantasy, because I'm just overthinking every single possible move. Kareem Hunt. Eh. New England's a good defense. They're coming off a huge Super Bowl comeback win. You know, they're going to be riding high going into this game. They're at home. It's the only game being broadcast. Everybody's watching this game because it's the first game back for the NFL season. They're not going to lose this game. Well, guess what? You got your asses kicked because of that mentality, most likely. And I benched Kareem Hunt because the Patriots have a good defense. So, you know, I was scared enough about it. And Hunt's a rookie, unproven. Yeah, he is proven now, but he wasn't for me then. But, you know, that's a big thing. And what I want to touch on is just the overreaction to this at this point. I'm guilty of it myself, because a lot of my teams, I went out and I grabbed Jeremy Hill as a, you know, super late round, almost last round pickup, because he was the starter. I mean, yeah, Joe Mixon is super talented.
That was on paper, though. You know that. You know.
Oh,
that.
Exactly.
Just on paper.
And that's what it was, though. You know, occasionally I will read stuff on paper. You know, sometimes in books, mostly on computer screens, but Jeremy Hill was the starter. He was the guy that, at least for the first couple of weeks, you had to feel, you know, semi-confident in as being the starter. Not necessarily have to start him in your lineups, but at least to have him on your bench and see what he does, what he brings to the table and throws out there. Okay, great. You know, that's by the wayside now for me, because he was the immediate drop of my teams, where I was like, I need to go get Tarik Cohen. I need to go get Kerwin Williams, Chris Johnson, or Andre Ellington to fill in for David Johnson loss. I need to go get, you know, Javoris Buck Allen, you know, whatever you want to call him, for my Woodhead loss. You know, I'm out here trying to find Alan Hearns and maybe Marquise Lee. Or if I'm in a 14 to 16 team league where we have a big roster, I'm looking at Aurelius Ben. You know, he was my guy every single time I dropped him to get somebody else. And I'm okay with that, because he didn't produce. And he basically didn't live up to that paper definition of him being the starter in Cincinnati. Hell, Cincinnati didn't do anything anywhere in that game.
A lot of that, though, AJ,
play like shit.
If I might, a lot of that had to do with the offensive line.
Oh, yeah. I agree 100%.
They weren't opening anything for them. And Gio Bernard actually didn't do too bad if you had him in PPR. I think he was, you know, you got some decent production there. But on the whole, that line.
But, in general, I mean, it wasn't Jacksonville, you know, coming up with 10 sacks. I mean, that's absurd. And awesome, because I loved Jacksonville's defense going into this year. They were one of the teams I just sat on while everybody else is reaching out for a Kansas City, for a Minnesota, even in some leagues I saw go pretty early. But Denver, Seattle, you know, the usual top scoring players going early. Patriots went pretty high in most of my leagues. They were, I would say, within the top 5 to 7 defenses taken. You know, and that's where they belong. But I don't like reaching on defenses. I will do it on occasion if the draft is going that way and everybody is going out and getting a defense. I'm not going to get saddled with, you know, a Jets defense this year or
oh, no.
you know, an Indianapolis defense or something, if everybody's like, oh, well, we need a defense. Oh, well, now two rounds later, we're going to take a second defense. Like, no, stop doing that shit. You do not need it unless you're in a really, really deep league or maybe a dynasty league. And then, okay, fine, I get it for that. But, man, there were some ridiculous pickups in some of my drafts this year. But defense.
Well, what's your thoughts, though? What's your thoughts on some of the other waiver guys like Cooper Kupp and Nelson Aguilar? And I think there was a couple of others that I can't that don't come to mind at the moment. They're the two that I don't think we've talked about.
Yeah, that was one of the other things I did have on the initial show lineup was to talk about these surprise players, you know, or surprise games by potential sleeper players, and bad games by name players. Cooper Kupp was a trendy sleeper pickup guy, late round pick. You know, you worry about him being with the Rams. You worry about Jared Goff. You know, their offense in general, not real good. Kupp had an awesome game. I mean, Aguilar had a ridiculous game. As an Eagles fan, I didn't even think the guy was going to make the team again because he's been so terrible and had so many issues with drops, with everything. And, I mean, he comes out and puts up a game like that with – what did he get? 6 receptions, 86 yards, and a touchdown? That's his best career game. I mean, I don't think he's surpassed 50 yards in his career.
You know what? A lot of naysayers, and I went to the Eagles site at SB Nation, and they always point out, well, you take away that long reception of Wentz scrambling and getting it out, they say you take away that and he didn't have that great of a day, and you know what? You never hear that when Rodgers is scrambling around and he throws a deep pass to Davante Adams and he scores a touchdown. They never take that away from Davante Adams. Do
you
they?
Didn't hear that from. The scramble, ridiculous toe-tap catch of Jared Cook last year, I believe it was. Same thing.
Yeah,
okay, Jared Cook has, you know, been up and down in his career, probably a little more...
So Eagles fans are really fickle. They just say, take that away and he didn't really have a good day.
Absolutely we are.
I looked at that and I thought, goodness sake.
But I'm not taking that away from Aguilar because he was a super highly touted guy coming out of USC. And, you know, I loved the pick when we made it, but he has done nothing to produce since then. And boom, here he is in week one. I mean, I was traveling up from Virginia Tech on Sunday with my dad. We went down to the game and down there for Saturday, and we're coming back home to Maryland on Sunday. And we listened to the first 2.5 quarters of the game on the radio. And I couldn't believe my ears. Everything was Aguilar, 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 Aguilar. I'm like, are you kidding me? This guy is where did this come from? Did he finally figure out how to catch a ball over the summer or something? I mean,
it was
great.
Well, they did mention it, and it was always in the news that he had a good spring and training camp. He's, you know, so it was in the news. And,
yeah. I mean, he's a possession guy, and that's what he proved, you know, with that game. Is it going to continue? Yeah, I hope it does for the Eagles' sake and me being an Eagles fan and, you know, let it build my hopes up for about the next 10 to 12 weeks and then they'll tail off at the end of the season and, you know, I'll still be a regular Eagles fan. But
well, I look at it this way, AJ. I look at it this way. It's six. You look at targets. He got six targets. So that's, I don't know, it's a median size. Now, whether that goes up to eight, that's another question. It could go down to three next week.
It depends, very well could.
It depends on Wentz. But game plans are, you know. And so he could, I think next week against Kansas City is whether you find out that he's for real or not.
Yeah.
And that might even be the same can be said about Tyreek Hill, too.
I think so.
I think Tyreek Hill's a little more for real, though, because he's the top wide there. But,
yeah.
And Kelce bounce back, perhaps. But
I think Kelce could, but, I mean, the Eagles completely shut down Jordan Reed. So, and he's a guy that's damaged them a lot and badly in a lot of games, you know, over the past few years. So, you know, for as much time as Jordan Reed misses during the season, I feel like somehow he's always just randomly healthy for the Philadelphia games, which is awesome. So he's destroyed us and they shut him down. So I'll be interested to see what the mentor does against the Padawan or whatever you want to call, you know, Doug Peterson, the student, I guess, would be the better analogy there.
Yep.
And you know, the game is in Kansas City. That's a tough place to play. I don't love the Eagles' chances this week, but I think that it's going to be a good game.
It could be one of those letdown games because with such a huge emotional win for the Chiefs against the Patriots on the opening night. So there's always that. You see that from time to time. After a big win,
so.
The team has a letdown. So it might happen. I don't know if it happens this early in the season, but I don't know. It should be an interesting game. I'm surprised not one of the big announcers aren't covering that particular one, but they're not. I think it's Kevin Burkhardt is covering that.
Yeah. Interesting.
So,
So back to where we were looking, the waiver guys, obviously the Arizona running backs, Buck Allen, like we said, all those receivers in Jacksonville, you got to fill in. Tarik Cohen was a huge, you know, coup this weekend or week for this weekend. You know, these are the guys. Galladay, another huge game. You know, he only had four receptions, but two of them were touchdowns. So
yeah, he still got Jones, you know, and Tate ahead of him. So I wouldn't throw too much expectations for him, but it's moving in the right direction there, that's for sure. And that one catch he made was just, I had to rewind it. I said, he caught that? He did. Hello? I think we just lost the show again. I do indeed believe that we have just lost the show again. 46 minutes remaining. Well, while AJ is not there at the moment, I will hold the show while AJ gets back. And let you know that what we were talking about was the waiver grabs, and we talked about Nelson Aguilar, mild, Cooper Kupp a little bit better, Galladay, I put Galladay ahead of him, Tarik Cohen definitely as far as the running backs, he's got to be top for pickups, but you've all done all your pickups so far this year, so while I keep talking and try to hold it until AJ rejoins us, I'll talk a little bit about some of the games coming up. just to briefly outline some of the games that are coming up for Sunday. I'm Richard Seville, by the way, of FantasySixPack.net, and I do the Fantasy Weekend Preview on the site, and also our podcast, The Fantasy Edge, which you can listen to on Friday. Anyway, what I was going to say was that something about some of the games that are going to be played this coming week, and I'll just get them up here. I wasn't prepared to, but I will get them up and ready as soon as AJ rejoins us. And New England is playing at New Orleans. I think Tom Brady, coming off a bad game as he was, will be out there to prove that he is not slowing down. He is right there because he did not look sharp in the opener. And I think there's a bit of anger there. So, but it's against Drew Brees, and he's coming off a loss as well. And so you can watch that game. That'll be Jim Nance and Tony Romo giving the call on that game. Next early game is Buffalo, Carolina. Both teams coming off wins. Buffalo promises to continue to work McCoy into the high 20s of carries, which has a lot of fantasy people worried, because overworking McCoy could mean a situation like David Johnson, which is not good, and perhaps even worse, because you don't really have good handcuffs on the team. You've got Mike Tolbert, Joe Banyard, and Tywan Jones, and if you average their ages, I think it comes out to late 20s or high 30. I know John Banyard is the youngest. I think he's 20. I think he's 26 or 28, something. Anyways, in Carolina, more Christian McCaffrey, I think, we'll be seeing. And so that will be interesting to note. Other things happening. I don't think I'm being heard. But I'm going to stay on here as long as until AJ gets back. 42 minutes remaining in the show. I remember when this happened last time, I was supposed to keep talking, but I will. I'll keep going. I'm going to have to tell AJ that the show has cut off again with 42 minutes to go. So just give me a brief moment here, ladies and gentlemen. I will be back with you in 5 seconds as soon as I I'm just going to type to him that I cannot hear him, and but I'm holding the show in case I'm still being heard. I don't know if I am. I might be, as a matter of fact, and I am being heard. So so I'll just move right along to the Tennessee and Jacksonville game. Last week, both these teams in the same division, Tennessee lost to the Oakland Raiders. A big effort, though, by Mariota. I think Mariota is growing as a football player. He didn't have any interceptions, so he did quite well. And Jacksonville, their defense, very, very strong. The Jacksonville Jaguars are missing now Allen Robinson, so they'll be relying on Allen Hurns and Marquise Lee to keep them going. Moving right along to Cleveland to Baltimore, big game for Baltimore. They are missing Danny Woodhead, as we talked about, and Javorius Allen is coming in. Cleveland is moving in with to try and get their first win. So both these teams, Baltimore coming off a big win against Cincinnati, and Cleveland growing. So it'll be interesting. I said big game to start off with, but, you know, every game, I guess, is kind of big when you're in the first 2 weeks of the season. Other early games on Fox, Philadelphia is at Kansas City, which AJ and I talked about. And then you got Minnesota at Pittsburgh, which should be a good game. Minnesota, of course, beating the Saints on Monday night. Should be very interesting to see if Dalvin Cook can keep it up and play against a little bit stouter run defense, I feel, that Pittsburgh has. So it should be quite interesting. And the clash between Le'Veon Bell and Dalvin Cook, who will emerge. Le'Veon Bell not coming off one of his greatest games to start the season, but Antonio Brown was Antonio Brown. But I think he'll have a little bit tougher sledding against this very, very strong Minnesota defense. So it should be a good game with that one. Other players to watch, of course, are Adam Thielen, who had a very nice game, and you could almost call it a breakout. So I'm just waiting for AJ to return.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I was just holding it so that it wasn't dead air, and kept talking because I do believe that I was still on air. So
yes,
I was just going through the games.
Okay.
I was just moving on to Arizona at Indianapolis. Thoughts on that game? Sorry, I just dropped that on you. I was just going through the list.
Yeah, my connection tonight is...
That's terrible.
That's pretty much it.
All right.
Yeah, so the games... Yeah, Arizona, Indy... I think Arizona is going to pull this one out. Indy is reeling badly, you know, from that loss. They do get the benefit of playing at home this week, but I just don't know if Jacoby Brissett's the answer there either. I think he'll be more mobile than Tolzien. He can at least try to make plays by getting out of the pocket a little bit better, but not loving that game. I feel like, to me, my highest scoring game, you know, last week I went through and I called out the Oakland Tennessee game as my highest fantasy scoring game. Nah, I don't feel like I really hit the mark on that one. So this week I'm going to go ahead and go with the Patriots at Saints. Both of these teams
are
0-1. Saints play much better at home. It's going to be interesting to see which one of these teams comes out of this matchup as 0-2. I'm leaning towards the Saints.
I think Saints come out as 0-2. I hate to say it, but their defense is just not quite good enough. If you saw what Adam Thielen did, right? So,
Yeah.
And Tom Brady is in anger mode. So, So the way I look at it, it's not looking good for the Saints. I hate to say.
No. Yeah, I think that's a good game, and also the Vikings Steelers game. I think that could be a really nice fantasy scoring game. On the flip side of that, games I don't really like.
You mean you don't like Cleveland at Baltimore?
I don't love that one. I think that one...
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's going to be another... I mean, honestly, I think the Texans-Bengals game is, for me, the Thursday night tilt's going to be the lowest fantasy scoring game.
I mean,
I could see Cardinals-Colts kind of falling in that because, obviously, we've got a committee situation at running back. We've got Carson Palmer, who didn't really look that good last week. Sorry, Joe, I know he was your sleeper pick, but yeah, he didn't really live up to expectations. It's kind of a toss-up for me
between
those two.
Do you think they start Brissett or Or tolls on again. They can't start tolls on again, could they? I doubt it.
No. I think they got to go to Brissett this week. And then, like I said, I think he's the better option because he can at least get out of the pocket, get out of a little bit of trouble with his legs and try to make some things happen. But, not necessarily loving that game either.
Problem is playbook, you know. He's weak on the. I mean, you're talking. He hasn't been on the team very long, and he hasn't been through training camp and all the thing. So that is the problem with him, is that he's not like Deshaun Watson, who can come in and take over the offense in Houston. I don't know. Is there any injury update on Watson? By the way, I've been trying to find out something.
I haven't seen anything come through. I did see something about Tom Savage's agent like crying the blues about him getting benched, and this is a travesty. Why is this even happening? It doesn't make any sense. Well, yeah, it kind of does. I mean, the guy didn't do anything. So, I mean, it's hard to necessarily say, well, he got sacked 10 times, so he didn't do anything. But, you know, that falls on the offensive line. You know, if you can't protect your quarterback, then that's a problem. But I don't necessarily think Tom Savage was going to be the end all be all for that team anyways. So,
but do you notice how Watson plays? He is like Russell Wilson. He throws across. He did it again. He threw across his body and completed a pass. And that is so hard to do. And I see Russell Wilson do it all the time. You know, he's very, very similar in his style to Russell Wilson. They've got a Russell Wilson player, but he's a rookie. But I like him. I like Deshaun Watson. I want this guy to play. So sorry. I guess we move on to other games that are. The Sunday night game. I don't know who's playing Sunday night again.
Sunday night game is going to be. Let's see. Sunday night game is Packers Falcons rematch of the NFC Championship.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
I like
that,
it.
That could be another pretty high scoring fantasy game.
Who's the big winner out of that one? You feel who scores the most fantasy points? I'm gonna say the biggest scorer of the fantasy points in that game will be. I don't think it's gonna be Jordy Nelson. I'm not gonna pick anybody obvious. But you know, since Julio Jones didn't really have a big game, I think it'll be Julio Jones. I think this is Julio Jones' first big game of the year.
I'm actually going to go with Rodgers. I mean, I know he might be an obvious pick, but he did not play well in that game. If I remember it correctly, I feel like the Packers did not really have, you know, they got beat handily. So I think he can come back and have a really good revenge game, but I think a lot of that's going to come with Montgomery. I think Ty Montgomery is going to be kind of their X-factor player, and he's going to be all over the place. He's going to be running the ball. He's going to be catching the ball. He's going to be scoring touchdowns. I really like Montgomery, but I do think that it's going to be a bit of a revenge game for Rodgers.
Yeah.
And like I said, he might be the
stadium too, so.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, Rodgers may be the trendier pick because that game ended up being high scoring as it was, but I mean, they lost 44-21. So for them to get only 21 points is not a big deal. But yeah, I think they're going to score north of 30 in that game. I think Atlanta's going to score north of 30 in that game. That actually, yeah, that could probably take the cake as the best highest scoring fantasy game.
Yeah, it could. Got a sleeper for it?
A sleeper player?
Pick a sleeper for that game. Yeah, I pick a sleeper player out of that game. See if I agree with it.
A sleeper player for that game. I kind of like Randall Cobb, too. I really like Montgomery, like I said, but I feel like he's going to be their go-to. You know, Cobb was the one who had the most receiving yards for Green Bay in that game.
Against Seattle.
At 82. No, against Atlanta.
Or last year.
Yeah, in last year's game. He was their top receiver. I mean, he only had 82 yards, but hell, I think Rodgers only had like 287 himself, something like that.
Yeah.
287 yards.
Getting back involved in this offense again, isn't he, strongly? You notice that against Seattle. You notice that.
Yeah.
You're thinking, uh-oh, I think I ranked Cobb a bit too low, I think. I think I think we gave a little bit too much weight on Devontae Adams. So
I think that's what it was. And I said earlier, I don't want to continue to toot my own horn here. That was actually going to be one of my potential rants tonight, was one of the Sirius stations I was listening to, or Sirius shows, I can't remember which one, but the one guy was so quick to point out like the great calls that he made for week one. Oh, I told you about this guy. And I kind of sat back and was like, man, this is really annoying with this guy coming out like that. But then I looked back, I'm like, you know what? You know, I'm on a show. I tout my own, you know, self and my own picks here and there. So that is one I will definitely tout, though. I told Joe on, I believe it was our wide receiver preview show, don't sleep on Randall Cobb. You know, the guy is good. He's going to be a factor this year. I don't care that Devontae Adams is there and that he's stepped up. I do like Adams, but
he's
based on where
he's...
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's another one of these teams where there's 57 different mouths to feed offensively, and you've got a guy that can do it in Rodgers. And Cobb had a great game last week against Seattle. So, you know, I definitely think he's someone to keep an eye on and track. If he's not drafted, you know, I feel like he's got a pretty high ownership, but, you know, maybe not. No, he's 100% owned in ESPN leagues. So
another big game coming up, though, AJ, is Dallas at Denver. And that's in the late afternoon game.
Yep.
You always think it's a big game because Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are doing it, so it must be a big game, right?
Of course.
So, Dallas at Denver. Denver, Simeon looked pretty good. He had a big game. And, you know, this whole week, it's been about, the whole week one was all about these don't forget me, I'm a quarterback kind of week. You had Alex Smith, Trevor Siemian, Goff, and, you know, Kaiser, who you mentioned, had a great game. So, you know, these guys, so Siemian, he's not a bad quarterback. I mean, he threw it to the wrong guy like Benny Fowler, but, you know.
Well, what is this? How did this happen? But
yeah, well, Benny Fowler is this year's Kevin Ogletree. So
yeah. So what? With that being said,
you might get Ezekiel Elliott. So
yeah, yeah, exactly.
From somebody unknowing, but I doubt it. Nobody falls for shark trading anymore.
Oh no, unfortunately not.
No,
so that being said, let's roll into the week two, you know, final previews here. with the sleepers and busts, we typically just do one quarterback, one running back, one receiver for sleeper and a bust. And then we talk about a defense to stream. So we'll get to that after, but let's just do a rapid fire here. You know, what quarterback, running back, and receiver do you like as sleepers this week?
A sleeper this week, I will go for, I didn't have time to think about this. I didn't have the script. But I, off the top of my head, I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to say Andy Dalton. I think Andy Dalton could come back and get the ball to AJ Green. I'm going to say Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's a sleeper.
Okay, I like
down
it.
Down game
like
to
it.
Up game.
Yeah, I think he's definitely got the potential
that is,
to
if he doesn't
turn
get,
it around.
He doesn't get
general.
Crunched by Watt and Clowney, that is. So
well,
he's a really big sleeper, but I'll go with him anyway. I'll go with him anyway. I think he could do it. You know, home crowd, you know, give it to him.
All right. I'm going to go, let's see. I guess my quarterback sleeper, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to say Baltimore at home is still probably going to win this game, but I like Kaiser over Flacco in this game. I think Kaiser, like I said earlier, has shown, you know, decent ability. You know, he only threw for 222 yards and only one touchdown. He did have an interception, but it was still a good outing for him. And I think he's just going to build on that. And we saw last year that Baltimore can get thrown on very easily and very often. Dalton did not step up to the plate last week and show that, but I'm going to go with Kaiser as my quarterback sleeper. My quarterback bust, I think I want to lean on, let's see here. Oh, that did not work the right way. All right, there we go. I don't want to say Breeze. I mean, it's kind of a false advertisement here that he's going up against the 30th ranked defense in New England because Alex Smith had a very Drew Brees-like performance against New England. I can't put that in. I can't even say Tom Brady is going to fall off again because he's definitely, like you said, in anger mode. I'm going to go with Dak Prescott.
Yeah,
I don't know if
that's
necessarily
a kind of took solar fire there. I'll take. Can we share that one? I think we will.
Yeah, well, we can share that one. I mean, Philip Rivers had a really good game against the Broncos. Well, I say really good because he had three touchdowns. He still had less than 200 yards in 33 attempts. You know, the Broncos are the real deal, you know, against quarterbacks. So that's almost a gimme pick by saying that, but I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, them come back up and really put Prescott in his place. So,
can you tell me something, AJ? What is going on with the chemistry between him and Dez Bryant? Where is it? I don't see it. I see a chemistry between him and Cole Beasley.
Yep.
I see a chemistry between him and Terrence Williams. See a chemistry between him and Bryce Butler, for crying out loud. But I don't see a chemistry between him and Dez. What is it?
I don't know what it is. I mean, I wish I could answer it. I don't know. I mean, Dez is obviously a talented receiver when he's on the field. He's got some injury issues in the past, but I don't think that plays into this. I think it's just a psychological, you know, issue here. I don't know why they can't get on the same page. And they've had some good games, but it's just not come completely together. So I have no idea. No idea what's going on in that situation.
Yeah, even Jason Witten. I can see you chemistry.
Witten had a great game. And, you know, I was poo-pooing Witten left and right because it was like, he's old. He's not a factor anymore, this and that. And then I was right there when stepping up to my my coworker and saying, hey, you were right about Witten, man. I'll give you the credit there because he came through and he had a good game. All right, so sleeper and bust running backs. Who do you got here?
Well, I'm going to take a sleeper running back. I'm going to take Jonathan Stewart. I'm going to take Jonathan Stewart. I really think that he, you know, they're playing. Who are they playing again? Yeah, I just was looking at it.
San Fran.
They're playing Buffalo. And so,
Buffalo.
They're at home, and I think Jonathan Stewart, I think he snakes in there, and McCaffrey's kind of he's kind of the jester sort of running back. That's the feeling I get. I don't know why I feel that way, but Jonathan Stewart is kind of still the workhorse, and I think Jonathan Stewart. If you want me to give you a bust, I'll wait until you do yours so I can have a think about it.
All right. Sleeper pick. Man, I don't know if you can necessarily call this guy a sleeper, but after his lackluster week one performance of only 65 yards on 17 attempts against a decent and stacked young Jacksonville defense, I do like Lamar Miller this week. You know, a lot of people are kind of writing him off already, and he just hasn't lived up to the draft expectations. And, you know, that showed a little bit this year because I feel like he fell in drafts a little bit, you know, compared to last year. But I do think Houston is going to come into this game a little stronger. You know, obviously, depending on if Watson plays, that could help out things as well. But Cincinnati just got eaten alive by Baltimore's running backs in West and Allen, you know, after Woodhead went out. So if Houston goes into this game and says, well, shit, Baltimore didn't have to throw the ball, so we don't care if we have Tom Savage, Deshaun Watson, or you know, a mannequin under center, as long as the mannequin can turn and fall over by handing the ball to Lamar Miller or even Donta Freeman, hey, we're good. You know, Baltimore ran the ball. I think it was 12 times in a row on one drive or something ridiculous like that. I mean, that's unprecedented. Mm-hmm. It just does not happen. So hopefully Cincy game plans a little bit better against the run this week. But I like Lamar Miller. I don't know if he necessarily falls into sleeper, but I think he can have a really big game. My bust, I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Mike Gillisley. You look at what the Saints gave up last week, and you know it was 138 yards on 27 attempts to Minnesota running backs. No touchdowns given up, which is a nice sign. And then Gillisley basically had three touchdowns on only 45 yards and 15 attempts. So basically every fifth attempt and 15 yards, it was a touchdown. So I just don't see that happening this week.
You know, he's probably not running back of the week for New England.
And that's exactly what I'm going with here. Could he score a touchdown? Sure. Is he going to get a lot of yards? I mean, he didn't even top 50 yards to begin with here. So you know, the only thing that carried him was those touchdowns last week. I just don't know if I see it. You know, hell, this could be Deion Lewis's week this week, and he's going to, you know, have five carries for maybe, you know, 18 yards, but then have four receptions for two touchdowns and 60 yards. So I just don't trust New England's running back game. Gillis Lee is going to be my bust this week.
Yeah, I'll go bust with poor old Frank Gore. He's practically going to run that offense, and I think he's going to get stacked, and they'll try Marlon Mack and Turbin, but they're not going to get anywhere on the ground. They're going to force who's ever in there to throw the ball, and so I think it's kind of the running game. All it doesn't matter who's got the ball.
Yeah.
I think they're going to force Indianapolis to throw it. So they're going to stack it pretty good, the Cardinals, I believe.
Yeah. So then we got receivers. I'm trying to think of who I said last week here. Receivers, I had Thielen as my sleeper. That was a good call. I had Fitz as my bust. He had an okay game. I'll call that one a miss on my end, but I'm going to go with T.Y. Hilton here as my bust. I mean, Arizona obviously got lit up by Galladay and Tate, but I don't know what's going on with this quarterback situation. Like I said, Brissett, I think, is a better option than Tolzien, so it gives Hilton a slight boost, but I still just don't like him this week. I think he's gonna fall flat again, and until Andrew Luck gets back, I'm just kind of staying away from everything Indianapolis related, aside from maybe Marlon Mack. He seems to be kind of the lone bright spot there, but also another good a good waiver wire pickup. If no one grabbed him, he might be someone to take a look at now and jump on, you know, while he's not too hot.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to pick my sleeper will be Jermaine Kearse. I'm going to give Kearse a chance against Carolina. I think there seems to be something going on there, and Kearse has another chance. I think there's somebody coming back into the lineup. He's a good complement with Jordan Matthews. So Charles Clay will still be the number one, but they are using Kearse, and Kearse is for a guy that hasn't been there very long. He's sure doing a pretty good job.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'll give it to Kearse. I'll give my sleeper to Kearse. And can I bust Brandon Marshall again?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm gonna bust Brandon Marshall. I am so down on here. You know what? I drafted him, and I feel like I got cruised.
Yeah, I can see that. I feel the same way. I mean, I don't think I started him this week because I was worried about the injury and the matchup. I just felt like the Giants were going to get smoked, and oh, hey, guess what? They did. So.
Yeah, I'm not keeping him for Monday night. Forget it. I'm not going to sit on Monday Night Football and watch Brandon Marshall get, you know, another goose egg until like 30 seconds in the fourth quarter left. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no thanks. I will.
I'm going to bust Brandon Marshall. That's it.
All right. I'm going to look at, since I kind of did these out of order, actually, by looking at Hilton as my bust first, my sleeper pick, I'm going to go with Tyrell Williams. out with the Chargers. You know, he had seven targets. He caught five of them, had 54 yards. Okay, nothing like too big of a deal to sneeze at, but again, you're looking at a Philip Rivers going against the best, you know, pass defense and D-backs in the league, most likely, at Denver. And he still manages that many targets, that many receptions. You know, the receptions is average, but this week he's going up against a very well-rested Miami team. And I just like the upside of Williams here. I mean, there, again, it's another team with a lot of mouths to fill. Hunter Henry wasn't even targeted in that game. You know, so that hurt me specifically on a lot of teams, but they didn't need him. I mean, the Chargers almost won that game, and, you know, Allen had a great game. You know, Williams was there. He was present. I think he's already got a really good chemistry with Rivers. I think Rivers is going to be throwing the ball all over the place. I mean, Gordon's still going to get his rushes and everything, but, you know, this is a pass-first offense in my mind, so I like Williams to rebound. I mean, I don't even think you can call it rebounding, just to build upon his week one performance. I mean, seven targets is very solid. So, you know, that's the second most of the team aside, right behind Keenan Allen. So, yeah, don't sleep on Tyrell Williams this week. You know, if he's out there and you're looking for some receiver help or whatever, might be a guy to target.
Tyler Thompson in our league.
Yeah.
He posed the question, non-PPR, who do you start? Williams or Martavis Bryant? Well,
I still like Williams. I mean, the Vikings
still like Williams?
Yeah, I think so. I think the Vikings pose a better threat to Pittsburgh than Miami does to the Chargers. So, I mean, I hope the guys in Miami got their rest, because they're now playing 16 straight games, which sucks. So, you know, had this question come up 5, maybe 6 weeks from now, maybe I'd think a little differently about it, but yeah, I like Williams.
I said Martavis Bryant. I think he comes up. Tyler always comes up with he's always, can he get any harder decisions than that? I mean, like, he's always coming up with these super hard decisions that are just like, oh, man, what are you laying that one on me for?
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess tight ends, is it?
No, we just do those top three, and then we do defense.
Oh, okay.
Defense to stream is what we're adding here. So this is probably, like, a defense that's, you know, not necessarily widely owned. We'll call it below 60%, but probably below 50 would be more streamable defenses, I feel like.
Oh, okay. So I got to look this up.
Yeah. Looking at...
You go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know why they're not this owned, especially after this week one performance. I mean, I'm kind of leaning towards the Ravens this week. It's their first home game. You know, they're playing against the Cleveland team that just gave up a decent amount of points to the Steelers. Yeah, I'm leaning Ravens for that one to stream. Yes, that's got to be my pick. I'm just looking at some of these other
Ravens
really...
stream. Ravens are owned in, what are they owned in?
They're only owned in 39.7 of ESPN leagues.
I don't know. Tyler has them 15.8% somewhere. Probably says here about where he's got the percentages. Own percentages based on ESPN leagues.
15.8%.
That's what
I have. What the hell? For the Ravens?
He's got 15.8. I find that kind of low.
That is probably before the waiver pickup then. Because they just jumped 25. Yeah, that's got to be. They jumped 25.9%. So that would have put them, they're at 39.7. So, yeah, that puts them down at 13.
Yeah.
13 and change.
I'll just use Tyler's Stream-O-Matic.
13.8.
For
my... Yeah, there you go.
It's a little bit of a plug for Tyler's Stream-O-Matic chart. You'll be able to see that tomorrow at fantasysixpack.net. Anyway.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's right. It's going up tomorrow. Raiders. Raiders against the Jets.
Yeah, I like it.
That's his number four. So I'll take that one.
All right.
I'll take that one.
I'm into
take
that.
The Raiders.
I think,
stream the Raiders.
Yeah.
Jets.
I think there's going to be a lot of defenses streaming against the Jets, against Indianapolis this week, or well, this year. But granted, the Cardinals playing them, they're 98.9% owned, according to what I'm looking at on ESPN. So, yeah. So, all right. Well, I do not see any Twitter questions come through to me. So that's not surprising, and that's fine as well. But
that's probably because I joined the show.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the only tweets I've gotten tonight were from you. why aren't you talking? I can't hear anything. But. Either way, let's wrap it up then. I appreciate you jumping back on with me here and helping me out through the show and through these various technical difficulties.
I was listening. I thought, I'll listen to AJ for a while. And then I decided to call in. And then about 5 minutes later, there was nothing. I thought, oh, no. Hope it wasn't me.
No, I saw the thing.
But you cut out again during the show. So
I wasn't really knowing what it was. So, all right, Richard, well, you want to tell everybody where they can find you at?
Yeah, be sure to listen to the Fantasy Edge. You'll be able to hear us on Friday when we get that posted on Friday afternoon. We pre-record our shows, so we don't do our shows live. But we don't do our shows live, but we have them posted like Friday fresh right after the we'll be discussing the game. Dennis Sochus will be joining me this week. And plus we have Alex Hamrick starts and sits and also Tyler Thompson's Stream-O-Matic, which come up again. And Tyler will be talking about which defenses to pick this week. So that's what we got coming up on the show, and plus all our sleepers and stuff. And you can find me at Twitter at RRS Saville, S-A-V-I-L-L, at Twitter. So you can find me there, and also you can see my weekend preview at fantasysixpack.net. Thanks for having me on the show, AJ.
Absolutely, Richard. Appreciate it. And we will have you back on, I'm sure, soon. Everybody check out Fantasy Edge and check out Fantasy Six Pack Hour next week, where we will be doing our week 2 recap and a week 3 preview. And hopefully with Joe running the show again, it'll probably go much smoother and less technical difficulties, hopefully. But either way, if you have any questions, feel free to tweet me at AppleGarthAlgar, all one word, capital APPLE, capital GARTH, capital ALGR. Thank you very much for listening. Hopefully you heard the entire thing, and if you didn't, we will edit and update and make it work. Good night, everybody. Good luck this week. Don't overthink. Just go with your gut. Make your teams work and get win number 2, hopefully, or win number 1 if you lost last week. Thanks. We out.